Life and Time. Life and Time. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, you're at the right place at the right time. Here at Progressive News Weekly, week in and week out, we bring you news and information that's gathered, or I like to say culled, from around the world, typically in the continental United States, but occasionally we do have guests from overseas. Today, we have a special program for you, as always, but it is a special, special program. And if you are getting my emails, well, then you know who our special guest is tonight. So without further ado, we're going to go to our first guest. But before I do that, let me give a little brief on our first guest. This is someone who I like to say walks the talk. Mr. Larry Ham, or Lawrence Ham, is a true crusader. He's been, well, I like to say also fighting the good fight for 30 years. He's the founder of POP, People's Organization for Progress, growing civic community organizations geared towards the upliftment and progress of all peoples, and specifically and especially African-American people. He's going to very, very have here. He's going to join us very, very briefly. Let's see where. Hello, it's live radio, folks. He's going to be, that was Mr. Lawrence Ham. He's going to join us very briefly because he has to get back to his own organization. And he would have been here 5 minutes ago had we not had a little technical difficulty. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Dr. Larry Ham of People's Organization for Progress to give us an update on the upcoming Million Man March Revisited in D.C. on Saturday.
Well,
Mr. Lawrence Ham, welcome back.
Yes. Good evening. How are you?
Oh, we're here. We're here. Stand strong, stand steady, because we have to.
Good.
Not because we want to, because we have to. And you know all
right
about that. So I know you've got your organization coming up. You've got to have a talk about a million man march. You've got to have a million things going on as the state representative to the event. And I know you've got to get back to your organization, as your organization typically starts around this time. So I'll get out the way and let you tell us about what's getting ready to happen here.
Right. Well, you're a little in luck tonight because I'm running way behind schedule, so I'm going to have a few minutes to talk to you. The thing that we need everybody to do is get on those buses and be in Washington, D.C. for the 20th anniversary Million Man March Justice or Else mobilization. If you want to find out where buses are leaving from in your community, you can go to the website www.justiceorelse.com, and you should be able to to either find the exact location or at least a phone number that you can call for buses in your area. I'm happy to say that we have had such an overwhelming response. Just today we've taken on another bus. So if people have had difficulty finding a bus to go on, a bus that had some vacant seats, they can, if you're in the Newark area or North Jersey, Essex County, Union County area, and you would want to ride with the People's Organization for Progress, we just took on another bus this evening, as a matter of fact. So we have about 50 seats that we can sell right now to folks who have not gotten their tickets. And if people need information for the People's Organization for Progress buses to Washington, they can call 973-801-0001, 973-801-0001. And I'm really urging everyone, especially all the folks that attended the Great Million Man March of 1995, to return to Washington 20 years later so that we can demonstrate our resolve to get justice for our people and our community, and also so that we can renew our fighting spirits. You know, sometimes you have to come together with like-minded people in order to re-energize yourself. So I hope that everybody will be in Washington on Saturday and get on the bus from your community.
Wow. What's the focus going to be on this event? I've had this question. What's going to be the difference now, this event coming up, and what happened 20 years ago?
Well, I think one big difference, and, you know, I'm really the wrong person to ask for the difference, because I have been involved in these things at a level where I can really see some of the behind-the-scenes work and effort that goes on. You know, sometimes when you're outside looking in, you get one perspective, but when you're inside looking out, you get another perspective. So really what you need is a synthesis of both perspectives to really have a grasp on the whole situation. The theme in 1995 was atonement and atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. The theme in 2015, 20 years later, is justice or else. And the focus of this demonstration on Saturday really centers on two pillar issues in our community. One is, of course, the epidemic, or I like to say, as others have said, the pandemic of police brutality that has been visited upon our people all across this country. And the other has been what some people term, this is a term I heard today, I like it, the horizontal violence. You know, some people say black-on-black violence. But to say, I understand, and sometimes I use the term black-on-black too, but it kind of has the implication that only black people are violent, when in fact violence can be found just about in every community across this country. And, you know, one of the things people don't talk about, we had this terrible mass shooting, another mass murder a few days ago, you know, and one thing that people seem to miss is that most of these mass shootings, the profile for the people who commit those is primarily white and male, you know. But I understand at the same time the very serious concern you know, people have in our community about the violence. There is too much violence in our community. You know, one violent incident would be too much. So Minister Farrakhan, the agenda with the top two items on this agenda being the stop police terror, police brutality, and terror in our community, but let's also stop the violence and the murder in our own community, which we do to each other. So that's really the difference in the focus. But I have to tell you, truthfully, and it's only because I was involved at a certain level. I was a statewide coordinator for the Million Man March in 1995, as I am in 2015. And many people don't know that there was a very wide-ranging agenda for the Million Man March. There's actually a Million Man March agenda booklet that was printed that people can probably get in the library. And people say, well, what were the issues? Well, there were a whole number of issues that people dealt with. And if you listen to the different speeches that were given in 1995, you'll see that there was, yes, that everybody came for atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility, but also people came to give attention, give voice to those issues that affect daily lives in our community. So, you know, and then the other thing is that we have to move the whole concept of unity from the abstract to the concrete. You know, unity is not just a thought, and unity is not just a feeling. Unity is the act of uniting, and uniting is the act of standing together. And to have real unity, people must stand together, and we must take those opportunities that present themselves for us to stand together to do so, or else we're just talking about some abstract unity, some theoretical unity. It's like swimming. I could give a lecture on swimming, right? You know, there have been books written about swimming, you know, how to train and everything, you know, how to swim, how to train, how to be a swimming champion. But at some point, to really experience swimming, I got to jump in the water. So, you know, it's like the difference between a theoretical concept of swimming and swimming. And so we must move from this theoretical or idealistic idea of unity to a real idea of unity. And I know a little bit about our community because I've lived in it all my life. And I know that we have differences, we have ideological differences, we have religious differences, we have political differences, we have sociological differences. I mean, on each of these subjects, we could have hours of discussion. But at a certain point, we have to ask ourselves, what is it better to do? Is it better to participate or not to participate? What are the plus and minuses of participating? And what are the plus and minuses of not participating? And so, you know, I say to people, if you don't go to the march on Saturday, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to sit home and watch television? Are you going to sit home and sleep all day? I mean, what are you going to do? How would your time be better spent? And I say to people that it would be better for us to be in Washington, those of us who can. It is better for us to be there than not to be there. And then, of course, the main issue is what do we do after we return home from Washington? Well, that's really on us. You know, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to fight for justice as I have been in the past 20 years since the first Million Man March. You know, and 20 years before that, you know. So for me, it's not really a big, how can I say it? It's not a big task to visualize what is it we're going to do. You know, I think it's a task, though, for other people who are not involved, you know, and need to be involved and need to be part of an organization. So, you know, what happens after the march is really on us. You know, it's really on us in our local communities to have activities and projects and initiatives and efforts that are going to, you know, be in the best interest of our community.
You know, you touched upon something key, and I'm going to actually ask you if you could reiterate one more time. It is just, I believe, worth repeating. And that's that whole aspect of unity. When you broke that down,
right.
And I'm, you know, Lawrence, I've been knowing you for a while. I don't have to patronize you at my age. I don't have to patronize anyone. But the fact of the matter is, it was stated like I've never heard it. And I, you know, I'm a community activist. I do a lot of, you know, work in the community. And in fact, I have my foundation coming up next weekend, which the theme is unity and engagement, coming together
right.
to make a difference. And for my 5K,
right.
Would you just reiterate on that piece again for the listeners? Because I think a lot
right.
of this really comes down to together or falling apart.
That's right.
You gave us a definition of unity, and I don't remember. I'm going to go back and listen to the archives. It was was that an original? If it wasn't, you need to. That was beautiful. No, seriously. Can you reiterate
thank
that?
Thank you. No,
what you said about unity?
I think that might be an original, but it's not a very
wow.
profound.
Wow.
But I mean, think about it. Just think about it. We want unity in our community. So everybody think back in your life, what were the times that our community really showed unity? Because unity, again, is not abstract. Unity is not just a theoretical concept. Unity is a practical behavior. So when were those times in your life that you experienced unity in the Black community, that you actually as a group or your neighborhood or your church or your community center or your sorority or your fraternity actually showed unity? And then, you know, there are various levels of unity. Unity is not a homogeneous practice. It's a multidimensional. There are different ways to show unity. There's not just one way to show unity. There are different ways to show unity. But just think back in your life. How many times did you actually experience unity? Now, those of us who went to the Million Man March in 1995, if we ever had to give a list of the top five events in our life when we saw Black people stand together, the Million Man March would be one of those. And I don't think people should make light of the idea that we just came together and stood shoulder to shoulder. Because that in and of itself, that very act of standing together shoulder to shoulder is a very powerful statement of unity. And I have to go further and say that there is no other example in United States history, or maybe even modern history. When I say the modern world, I'm talking about at least the last 1,000 years, or maybe even 2,000 years, where there's any record of a million people standing together, shoulder to shoulder, in a spirit of brotherhood, in a spirit of unity. I'm not saying it never happened. I'm just challenging anybody anywhere in the listening audience to search high and low, you know, the important documents, and show me an example in human history where you have ever read that a million of any people, Black,
white, red, or otherwise, stood shoulder to shoulder. And certainly if we say U.S. history only, then I would say that is the only example of that in U.S. history. I have no other comparable example. Now, those people who are older than I am, who went to the March on Washington, that was another. The March on Washington of 1963, that was another example of unity. Some people make light of the 1963 March on Washington, particularly, you know, in light of Malcolm's critique of the March on Washington. But the fact remains that up until that time, there was no other example of a quarter of a million people coming to Washington and standing shoulder to shoulder on the cause of Negro, the term that they used at that time. We say African-American now, but they said Negro in 1963, Negro equality. So the standing together in unity is very important. And I think that is something, when these opportunities arise, we should try to be there. And more importantly, we should have our children there, so that when our children grow up, they can say, well, I was there, you know, in 1995, and I was there in 2015. You know, any time our people stand together in unity is a good time to bring the children, so the children can see a concrete example, be it a march on Washington, be it a march on Trenton, be it a march in Plainfield, or be it a march around the block, you know, of us coming together and standing together in a common cause. That's how people know we're unified. That's how, you know, I still hear black people say, well, black people can't get together. But that's not true. We get together very well. And in fact, we probably are one of the most unified ethnic, and I know that that's hard for people to really grasp. But when you think about everything that we have done and we have accomplished through our unity, it's of biblical proportion. I mean, no, yes, we have a lot of crime in our community, and we steal from one another, we kill one another, but so do everybody else. There's no other race of people that does not have homicide. That's why every society in the world has police. Every organized society, every country in the world has police and army. Because some people, you know, we wouldn't have 10 commandments, you know, if people weren't doing these things. So every group does that. What you have to look for is, do these people stand together and fight for a common cause? And our people have stood together. We stood together in the fight against slavery. We stood together in the fight against Jim Crow. We stood together in the fight for civil rights and voting rights. And we will continue to stand together. You know, we're not a perfect people. I'm not arguing that we're perfect. I'm just saying that, relatively speaking, we have a pretty good record when it comes, you know, to points of challenge for us standing together, you know. And so, you know, to be unified, you got to be unified. It's simple, but it's complex at the same time, you know. I mean, people talk about unity, but, you know, are you standing with somebody? Are you standing with others when there is a challenge? And then the other thing is, it's easy to be unified when there's no cause to be fought. You know, we come together for a program. You know, that's good. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. That's good. We come together for a program. We come together for Black History Month. But that's not difficult. You know, the real test of unity is in the face of trials and tribulations. Can you get people to stand shoulder to shoulder to overcome adversity, you know, to fight for a cause, and so on and so forth? You know, that's when you really test that unity, you know. And we could talk about this for hours, We could talk about it for hours. But I thank you. I'm going to have to go in. I urge people to get on the bus. You know, get on the bus. I know there are buses out of Plainfield, and I know there are buses out of other communities. Get on the bus. Don't let the little things divide us. Don't let it divide us. You know, people say, well, that's Farrakhan. He's a Muslim. This is not a Muslim march. It's a march for everybody. In fact, it's not even just a black march. It didn't say the million black people's march. In fact, I was at the Harlem State Office Building when Minister Farrakhan laid out the call for the march. He said he wanted everybody there, all people oppressed and exploited, red, black, brown, yellow, and white. He even said the poor white people. He invited them there, you know. So don't let the little things like religion and political differences. Look, when people look back on the Million Man March in 1995, all they remember is that there were a million, maybe 2 million men standing together, and that it was a great day of unity. There was no fighting, no killing. People don't talk about the ideologies that were discussed. Most people don't even talk about the political issues that were discussed by the speakers that day. All people remember is that we came together as one and stood together as no one else has ever stood before. I'm telling you, you could search all of contemporary U.S. history. You will not find another gathering of the dimensions of the Million Man March of 95. That's why we should commemorate, because each time we commemorate it, we renew our spirit. We renew our determination to continue to fight, and we must continue to fight. Power to the people.
To the people. Thank you so much. Thank you. That we've been listening to Mr. Lawrence Ham, a true crusader. If you didn't get your spirits uplifted, I'm wondering if you have a spirit. And I mean that because you can feel his spirit. And we talk about holistic aspects of ourselves. We're spirit first, plain and simple. People say, and I heard this from a colleague and good friend earlier, people say, I have soul. No, we are soul. We have bodies. We have bodies which encompass our souls, but we are souls. And so that's why we get vibes from people that we meet and so forth. When I say and so forth, energy, you walk in a room, it feels good or it doesn't. That's actually called Mr. Larry Ham. Dr. Ham truly has an uplifting spirit. As he said, this isn't about race. This is about righteousness. And so I do encourage everyone within a listening shot of my voice, whether you're in the archives or you're listening live right now, try to get on the bus. I mean, if you can't, you can't. But if you can't, ask yourself, as you said, what will you be doing during that time frame? Because when you bring a million people together, and I was there, folks, I was there. I pride myself as being somewhat of a statistician, blessed to be able to work with numbers since a young lad. You know, many of you know my background, you know, studied numbers, majored in economics, went on to the field of technology where numbers were prevalent. I love statistics. I looked at the numbers afterwards. And the media tried to say, it was 500. The numbers were everywhere. I heard something as ridiculous as 300,000, 500. Some called themselves being fair, or it was close to a million. But if you look, you can find information. As Dick Gregory, one of my mentors, says, anything you want to find out is in a book or on the internet now. Go and do a comparison. You can find bird's eye views of what happened in 63 on the March on Washington. That was a march. And then look at the bird's eye view of the numbers that were there in October of 95. 250,000, 250,000. You'll see four times as many folks there. And I was there. And these were predominantly men, which is really makes it unparalleled. I agree. Never really thought about it as Mr. Ham had described it. But, yeah, there were a million and predominantly men. There were some women, some children, but there were predominantly men. And it was so packed. We were shoulder to shoulder. And it was an energy like I've never in my life felt since then. So I do encourage those who can go. We've been listening to Mr. Lawrence Ham. He's the founder and the executive director of the People's Organization for Progress, POP. And they are expanding. They do a good work for the community, within the community. And they're expanding into chapters, and they're just doing very, very good work. He's been in this movement for 35 years since graduating from Princeton University. I've known Mr. Ham for many years, and I've seen him not waver in his commitment and dedication to helping peoples, all peoples, you heard him, but especially African-American people who right now are the most disenfranchised people, I would challenge in numerous respects, especially here in the United States. So with that being said, without further ado, hold on to your seat, keep the seatbelt buckled, the figurative seatbelt buckled, because on our next half of our program, we have a very special guest, our resident numerologist, Dr. Craig Wright, another notable in his own right, tongue-in-cheek. Dr. Wright, most of you who are listening in understand his reputation and his own background speaks for itself. He's been studying numerology for some 20-plus years, actually 30-plus years. He has a degree in psychology. He's a metaphysic author, counselor, humanitarian. And so we're so blessed to have him return from time to time. And we try not to let 4 or 5 weeks get by, and we try to get him back. He has his own radio program, which you'll hear a little bit more about when he comes on. And he's going to just share with us a little bit about what the numbers are showing for the time period that we're in right now. So it's my true pleasure to bring on Dr. Craig Wright. Dr. Wright, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you, Daryl. Always a pleasure to meet up with you and your...
Yeah, I know that we went a little over, and it's interesting, you know, you and I talk from time to time, and you had said, well, I said, well, we're going to get you on, you know, not long after 6:45 or so. He said, well, Daryl, you know, it's live radio, or I said it's live radio. He said, I know you have the bestest of intentions, but we'll play it by ear. And so there you are. You must have read it in the numbers, because this event coming up, and this is, you know, Lawrence's last opportunity, and, you know, I just try to bring information and news that's pertinent for me to be able to contribute something. And I just wanted, especially when he had the time, because normally his own meeting that he has every Thursday starts at about 6:45. But as he said, he had a little more time. So I'd be remiss if I didn't apologize for coming on a little late, but we're going to go a little over as well to make sure that we don't shortchange any of our listeners. So it's been a while, Dr. Wright. Newlywed. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Daryl. Yes, I tried to not. recently, and feel very fortunate to have been able to make my 3-year fiance my bride.
Yeah. So a lot going on, you know, in the last, well, you see, it's been about 6 weeks since you've been with us. It's so interesting how, you know, life is just evolving. you know, if 6 weeks go by, something major has occurred. I mean, major. And you know from the last many years that you have partnered with Progressive News Weekly that to be the case. It's just, you know, interestingly, I would say phenomenal, but I won't say that because these are some of the things that you've predicted, you know, some of the dynamics of society and how it will continue going forward and how the numbers outline that. So does any of the things that we've seen Russia, Donald Trump still on a roll. I mean, there's so many things, and I try not to do mainstream unless we can give a specific angle that you typically don't get in the mainstream. I try not to do mainstream news, but at the same time, there are events that we need to shine a light on, as I said, in a unique perspective. So a lot's happened since you've last been on the program. Looking back on the year from when you were here, and you get my notes in January, you always give us a little bit of an insight to the year. Does anything surprise you that's happened this year?
Well, Daryl, I find every day surprising and amazing. That's just the nature of life, you know, to me every day. Being a resident of Baltimore City, I guess the thing that has happened that kind of surprised me is I thought Baltimore had kind of turned the corner on some of the negativity after we had the uprising as a result of the Freddie Gray case. I really thought that we had gotten past the self-hatred, the wars that we're seeing on the street, the record numbers and fatalities. It's really having a negative impact on the city, and I guess I had to say something was surprising. It would be that. It was almost as though as soon as the upheaval was over, the violence started again. So that I was really surprised by that.
Well, did the numbers depict that that was the possibility? Because you've always said that the numbers don't dictate, they just give an option, sort of like those hurricane what they call them, spaghetti models. You know, it could go one way. These are just potentials. Was there anything in the numbers that showed the potential for some of the occurrences?
Well, as I emphasize at the beginning of the year, this is a number 17 year, a time when people are seeking freedom. Like the word Moses is a 17. So there's kind of a movement, a kind of an exodus. People are moving, wanting to find justice. We're kind of seeing this all around the globe. And I just thought there would have been a, as I mentioned before, a better response to what we saw happen in the Freddie Gray incident in terms of people providing opportunity to young people, people coming forward with jobs, people coming forward with mentoring programs, so as to take away from the appeal of the streets. But what's not being publicized, what's not being said, is most of these violent crimes are a result of enterprising folks on the street trying to lock in a market, you know. But in the game that they're playing, you know, you go to the gun instead of the boardroom. So that's kind of what the foundation. I mean, I was kind of around for what happened back in the 60s, in 64, when Dr. King, 68 rather, when Dr. King was assassinated. And it seems to be when the gap between the haves and the have-nots gets far enough, that's when there's a rift in society. And that usually spells out into people on the streets. I remember after 68, all of a sudden there were all types of grants and monies available for people to go to college and job programs. So I really was hoping that we did not have to repeat history, and that from that overt demonstration that people would have responded. So in that regard, yeah, I guess if we don't address the issue, it will only get worse.
You make a good point, too, when you say that this is significantly economic. And when the times get tough economically, I'm sure there's a direct parallel to crime, despair. It's not, as you say, it's not rocket science. it really isn't, and it's unfortunate that it had to be repeated. It's as though you try to resolve a situation with the hope that it will manifest itself on an ongoing basis. But then I guess it speaks to the nature of man or mankind to some degree. And I guess a lot of that has to do with simple greed, because there's enough for everyone. I mean, that's the interesting part. There's enough. Some people would say, oh, here we go with the socialist conversation. No, there's nothing to do with that. There's nothing to do with that. It's just that there's enough for everyone. That's the bottom line. And when you're paying someone an unlivable wage and you're literally taking home, literally, not figuratively, folks, we know what those two words mean, literally $1 billion, i.e. Walmart, there's something very wrong. You know, just not from a theoretical, but just from a humane perspective.
Yes, and that's very true, Darrell. And Baltimore is a good example. The city of Baltimore, people look at the city and they study. You can see the direct result of what has happened. The real estate market has frozen again in Baltimore City. Businesses that depend on people to come to the Inner Harbor and visit, bring their families down, they're suffering now. So, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for us to realize that we are one. You know, you may think you are oppressing someone or holding them back and profiting from it, but you're not. You know, we ultimately are one, and you can't affect one segment of the population without affecting us all. Neither of us can rise if someone else is falling behind. And we see it playing out and playing out over and over again. And like you said, oftentimes it's just based in man's basic nature of greed or whatever other emotions that we must learn to overcome. But when it's all said and done, I just keep telling myself, it's got to get worse before it gets better, and the darkest hour is before the dawn. And after a year like this year in Baltimore, I'm keeping my eyes on the horizon. I'm waiting for the sun to rise. This has been a really crazy year in this city.
Well, I was looking back on your notes from January, and you said, this is a 17 years. You mentioned Moses, and you said it's going to be a spirit of liberation. You said there's going to be a challenge to authority this year. You said there, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, these are 17s. Muhammad Ali, these are 17s. And what I'm hearing and seeing in that is these folks aren't sitting around anymore. I was like, if I put one and one together, this is a energy of stepping out in power. And what I believe, if that's the energy, it's being misdirected. And I heard Brother Lawrence Ham mention that, you know, what one of the themes, well, actually he said there were two pieces to this march. He says this year one is to fight against the epidemic or pandemic of police brutality, but the other is to fight against horizontal violence, violence within the community. And I think that's just misdirected energy. I think that's the same energy that you were just talking about, but it's misdirected. And I don't think it's misdirected by coincidence. I think it's being funneled through lack of education, through lack of resources. And so I think that through education of those who are capable of being educated, there might be a turn of that energy. It's clearly, it is the energy of rebellion, but it's got to be pointed at the direction from which, pointed to the direction of the source of the frustration. And that's what took place in Washington, D.C. In 63. So with that, can we talk a little bit about October? And listeners, the number that you're going to want to dial is 347-838-9142 to have a dialogue with Dr. Wright. You'll press 1 on the dial if there's a loved one or yourself or someone else, perhaps a coworker or the like, that you'd like to, you know, get an idea of what going on in terms of their energy as it relates to numbers, and you can come up with their birth date. Certainly you'll want to call in and maybe get some insight as to what's going on with that individual's life that might help them or help you to understand what's going on. And so I would encourage you to dial 347-838-9142 if you haven't already done that. You'll want to do that, and if you have done that, you're going to want to press 1 on your dial so myself or Cecil, our engineer, can make sure that you have that opportunity to interface. Don't miss this opportunity. Dr. Wright is a busy man. He's not here every week. So if there's something going on in your life, I encourage you to take the opportunity to present your date, your birth date, and he may be able to give you some insight to help you through that or even enhance it if it's a really good thing even more. Okay? So I hope everybody got that message. I don't know who for specifically I might have been talking to, but I was just led to say that. I'm sure there are things going on in our lives that you can get some insight toward. So tell us about a little bit about October and give us a little sneak peek about November, if you will. I know I'm going to be reaching out to you before the end of the year, but I know how busy you are, and I want you to also give us a shout-out about your radio show before you leave us. But right now, give us a little peek about October and November.
Be glad to, Darrell. As you have mentioned already, this is a number 17 year. So we add 10 to 17, which means October is influenced by the number 27. Now, this is one of the most favorable vibrations we can experience. It's argued that the number 27, you know, we numerologists get into it from time to time, but many believe, and I am one of them, that the number 27 is God's favorite number. And that comes from the story of Job when he says, that's my God. That's the one I can count on. That's the one no matter what you do. And J is the 10th letter of the alphabet. O is the 15th. And B is the 2nd letter of the alphabet. So Job, the name Job, vibrates to the number 27. So that kind of gives us a little insight into this month. In the story, the way the story goes, Job had a lot, lost everything, but he got it back tenfold because of his faith and his patience. So under the number 27, it's a symbol for birth, marriage, It is the best time to start a new business. Under the 27 vibration, things are growing, blossoming, and bearing fruit. In other stages of growth, you can't even see a seed when it breaks down and develops roots. We notice the spot when it comes up. But under the 27 vibration, things are growing, blossoming, and bearing fruit. So this is a very fertile, promising time where relationships can bloom and bring deeper understanding. Close partnerships can be formed. Anyone out there who's been planning to open a new business or start any type of activity, patent something, start a new gym membership, whatever it is, this is the month to get started. The number 27 brings together all the ingredients for a successful promotion. It's a unity-type vibration that will enable us to enlist the aid of others, and people will in turn be happy to come together and see that positive results occur during this month. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of the planners of the Million Man March were numerologists. Would not surprise me at all. Those of us who do heed the call to start something new, to begin something different, activities started this month can be the beginning of a fortune. Okay, now I didn't mention playing the lottery or going to the racetrack. I said starting a business, forming partnerships. Those types of events that are started this month can ultimately become very, very successful. Okay, the events that occur in October can bring wealth, prosperity, and enable us to reach the goals that we see. Now, because on the second day God divided, I got to tell you what's on the dark side. Okay, that was the light side. Okay, God divided the light from the darkness. That was the light side. Okay, now, because the dark side exists, there can be a negative reaction to this very positive energy, and this will bring delays, postponed travels, and terminations of existing businesses, relationships, endings instead of blossoming, and generally unhappy feelings. Okay, so that's how the 27 expresses itself. It manifests both ways. The key is to make sure we are being proper receivers. Okay, the vibrations go out and we can affect how they affect us by expressing a positive, expectant attitude. You can bring about the best side of this vibration. Okay? So it's up to us to express a positive, expected attitude. You don't want to do something and say, I know I'm doing this, but it's not going to work. Or I know I'm wasting my time. Or this is really a joke. You know, that's not going to bring the desired effect. So everything I said about this could be the month, this could be the time where you really shoot off and rocket off and start something positive, it starts from within. From a positive, expected attitude. You will be off on a happy and new adventure. Travel is possible, but if we don't travel physically this month, we will at least travel toward our innermost dreams and desires. I have been in, for example, my wife and I have been in the process of establishing an assisted living facility. And it's been a process of transforming my residence into a building that can meet government codes and standards. So I've been having all types of folks come in and measure things and analyze things, and so that I can be prepared and open up the facility that I want to do. So that's what I'm utilizing. That's what I'm pushing this month. And I would suggest my fellow entrepreneurs to get busy. It's not too late. In fact, on October the 13th, there's a new moon. So most ventures will be moving forward, Okay, I'm anticipating having all the results from all the inspections, all of my new construction done, everything I need to meet the fire code standard to have that done between the 13th, which is the new moon in October, and the 27th, which is the full moon. So that's the cycle, that's the energy, that's what we want to be planning on, looking to, focusing on between the 13th and the 27th, a positively expected attitude moving forward to a start of a new business or launching a new venture. Not too much on the downside for October. It's a number 9 month. 2 plus 7 is 9, which makes it really simple to figure out what each day is, because in a 9 month, every day has whatever value of the day it is, that's the energy of the day. So, for example, today is the 8th, and it's a number 8 day. In a 27 month, you had 8 and 27 is 35, and 3 plus 5 is 8. So it's really easy to track each day during the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
And
hello?
You said, I'm sorry, I missed your comment.
No, I said, okay, that was all I had to say about that.
Okay. But yeah, it's a number 9 month, so 9 doesn't change anything. The number 9 doesn't change anything, so since it's a 9 month, it's real easy just to, you know, look at the day. That's the type of day we're going to have. You mentioned November. Don't know if you have people on the line waiting or if you want me to go ahead to November, but I'll keep it rolling.
Just give us a high level, because we do have people on the line, and I really want to get to them. So if you could just give us a sneak peek.
I'm feeling them. After the 27 comes the 28. 2 plus 8 is 1, so the urge to move forward and drive and complete things continues through November. But this is number 28. And the number 1 will require us to stand on our own. October is great for working with others, forming partnerships. But now it's time to perform. If you form the partnership and you have a task in November, it's time for you to stand on your own and do what you need to do. Number 1 always implies self. So being self-reliant will be necessary in November. And those who rely too much on others could experience losses.
Okay, that's something that's good. That's a little tidbit, and we can get into some more detail in November. So let's get to our listeners here. I want to start with, we have a 4042. That's a very familiar number. I don't have all the numbers that call in memorized, but that is a familiar number. Let's go over to 4042. You are live, 972-467-4042. I didn't mean to give you a number, but excuse me. What comment or question do you have?
Oh, Brother Darrell, this is Kevin Porter.
Hey,
Honorable
I knew
Dr.
that number
Wright.
Familiar.
Hey, how's everybody? I have
That's
a question.
That's one of our guests. Dr. Porter, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Oh.
Yes, good to hear your voice. You have something for Dr. Porter, Dr. Wright?
Yes. I'm eager to hear your question, sir.
All right. Dr. Wright, my question is, I want to look at my mother's number. She will be 70 coming up in February. Her birth date is February 11th, and she was born in 1946. And beautiful woman, her spirit is very wonderful, and I'm just wanting to see how she's doing, basically. From a numerical
February
11th.
11th?
Yeah, 1946.
1946.
Yeah.
That is very very unique. As Daryl mentioned, I've been practicing this craft for over 30 years now, and she's only the fourth person that I've had the pleasure of giving some information about who had that combination. Her month is a 2, it's the second month. Her day is the 11th. 1 and 1 is 2.
Right.
In her year, 1 plus 9 plus 4 plus 6 adds up to 20. And 2 plus 0 is also 2. Her month, day, and year are all the
same.
They're all the same. I've been doing this 30 years. She's only the fourth person that I've seen that. That is so unusual and so unique. She is an old soul and a highly evolved love being. You're very blessed to have her so close in your cycle. But she exemplifies love, caring, healing other spirits. If you went to her house now, the door might not be locked, okay? I'm telling you, she is an amazing, amazing spirit and a wonderful soul.
Wow.
Let me try to get myself together here.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Always blown away when I come upon a body doctor. That's a Sanskrit or Indian term for a highly evolved soul who only came here to elevate the planet. She did. You see, as a metaphysician, I believe in the transmigration of the spirit, or what other people call reincarnation.
Okay.
And we continue to reincarnate until we learn all the lessons, we experience all there is to know, and we can move on. We don't have to come back. We get off of Jesus' wheel. We no longer have to be tied to it. And she did not have to come here.
Wow.
She decided to be embodied, to perhaps to nurture you.
Yeah.
You know,
that she did.
That's all I can say about that. I don't know her reason, but it wasn't that necessary. Again, the show of, because it's painful here. You know, we experience this in here. We don't experience when we're not in the flesh. You know. So, like they say, no pain, no gain. So we have to go. Some of the disappointments and frustrations and losses that we have in life are programmed to help us grow. When I meet someone like this, it's like a total sacrifice of someone who did not have to do it. In terms of this year for her, this has been a number 30 year. Her month and day add up to 13, which probably put her on her own earlier life. As a 13 means change and transition. She probably lost someone early. Just a little reminder of where she was now. But when we add 17 to her month and day, which is 13, we get 30. And the number 3 is a symbol for expression, youth, great joy. The number 3, the story of Jesus was about the number 3. He was sought by 3 wise men, denied 3 times by 3 sleeping disciples. His main voice that he didn't know him 3 times before the rooster could crow. So the 3 is a very spiritual vibration, number of enlightenment. So she may have been very, very happy being around children this year. This number of health and healing. And now she's entering a number 31 year. And the 31 is mainly concerned about legal issues.
About what issues?
Legal issues.
Okay.
The number 31 focuses on legal issues. So it's a great time, if you haven't already, to be thinking in terms of wills, inheritances, living status, things of that nature. This month, in fact, you may have to make a decision in terms of whether you can continue to maintain the status quo.
Okay.
This is the number 30 year in October. That's the month we're in now. 10 plus 30 is 40. And whenever the number 40 shows up, there's a break, there's an ending, there's a separation, and there's movement toward something better. Before means orderliness. Expect order in October. And the zero is the symbol for God. So number 40 always means God is establishing a new order. So it rained 40 days, 40 nights. And during the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, a new order was established. The children of Israel wandered 40 years in the desert. And during that, at the end of that 40 years, they made it to the promised land. So this month, October, can bring breaks or endings, separations from the past, and the need to begin to budget any type of recent gains that have manifested.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, Dr. Wright. Very insightful.
Very special lady.
Very.
Oh my goodness. She can walk on water, but she doesn't want to scare everyone.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
well,
you know,
Kevin, you're fortunate.
I know I'm fortunate, and prayed me to where I am. I grew up in a situation where at any moment I feel like I'm blessed, and she told me one point in time that she just kept praying for me. She knew my situations, and she just prayed for me, prayed that I would move out of the, you know, that teenage, you know, I was, you know, you could be smart and you can be all this kind, but if you're in the wrong situation, it could be over. And sometimes I put myself with the wrong people, wrong situation, and, you know, something hits you and say, I better leave this one. I better move on. And that's her prayers, you know, and I always felt that way. And, and I talked to her today about four different times, and when you said somebody called in, I was like, I'm going to check on my mother, you know, her numbers are. And I got a wow. I got a wow.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. We so appreciate you. That's Mr. Turner out of Texas. And also one of our guests that has become a very, very important partner. He's working with Progressive News to establish a mentor program and for children and also to affect a positive change in our society. So we look forward to having Kevin join us in the next couple of weeks as we continue that program. So I have a couple of dates, Dr. Wright, that I need to share. And we only have about 15 minutes, so if you can, and I know you can, if you can touch upon these two. The first one is my sister. Today's her birthday, so I want to, and I want to ask, she's going to have to listen to the archives because I know she's out doing her thing. But 10/8/49.
Okay. 1949 adds up to 23. Her month and day are 18. 18 and 23 add up to 41, and 4 plus 1 is 5. So that is called the birth path number, the number 5. It's a symbol for freedom and change. So your sister is here to rock the boat and cause some trouble.
Wait a minute.
That's the number 5. Fives don't care about tradition. They don't care how you did it for the last 20 years. When the number 5 shows up, there's going to be change. So she's a change agent.
You there?
Yeah. And I was going to say, I guess the statement was so profound, you knocked me off the air.
No, I'm here. I'm hanging in there.
I'm here.
If you look at the number 5, you'll see it's sitting on a rocker. The number 5 doesn't have a flat bottom. It's a round bottom. It's sitting on a rocker. So 5s change their mind frequently. They go back and forth and back and forth. It's hard to pin a number 5 down. Because of that, they will love jobs that give them flexibility and freedom. Sales, travel, promotion, politics. Those are things that number 5 loves to get involved in. So she's a natural salesperson. And because her year is a number 23 year, she's really, really enjoying this particular phase of her experience. Many 5s, because they're multi-talented and have many, many interests, have difficulty following through on things. But it's okay. So 5s are here to more or less experience things than to see things come to completion. So 5s often leave old projects, moving on to new ones before they've completed them. In terms of this year, in a 17 year, someone who's born 10-8, which adds up to 18, 18 to 17 is 35, which is also an 8. So she is in harmony with the universal year of the 8, only on a higher octave, which is 35. So financially, this has probably been an excellent year for her. Great year for financial growth moving forward. The 35 also emphasizes inheritances. So she may have come into some good financial blessings from unearned sources, from people who just wanted to say thank you or give something to her this year. Just trying to, there's so much I could say, trying to come up with something. And at the stage that she is in now, she's very interested in being a change agent for healing. For giving the establishment or people who are involved in administering services or determining who gets what, she is there to shake them, rattle them, and to get them to be more concerned about community. So right now her focus is on being a healer at this stage in her experience and being a healer and working for beneficial changes that will enhance community and family.
Okay. Well, we only have a few minutes. Thank you so much. I know that my sis will tune in to the archives. As I said, it's her birthday, and I reached out to her earlier. She's out and about doing her thing. And, boy, you touched her. You really hit her, though. She's the spark in the spark in the family. She was the one that, reminds me of, what story is it where the guy cut Peter or Paul or Simon that cut the ear off? And she was the one in the family that says, oh, no, wait, somebody's doing what? Oh, no, we got to take him out. So you touched, you hit her or that energy. The last date I have is another family member who is I was just told, taken ill today. So I want to give you his numbers and see what you have on him. He's 2846.
Okay.
No, excuse me, that's not right. No, that's not right. That's the one that we just had from, I'm out of my numbers. That's what we have from Mr. Porter. Oh, here we are, 92146. 92146.
Okay.
It's 211, that was Mr. Porter's mom.
Right, that's right. All twos.
Yeah.
So the year is the same, 1946. So that adds up to 20. The month and day, 9/21, adds up to 30. So you have another number 5 in the family, a nonconformist. Someone who wants to play by their own rules. But there's a difference in the 41 and the 50. The number 50 carries the zero with it. So many of the traits that I told you about your sister would be true here as well, in that they are both following sort of a mercurial pattern and love their freedom above all else. 921 will be a little more vocal, a little more social than the number 8. 21s are people, and always appear younger than they are. No one is going to believe his age when he tells them. They're going to think he's much younger than that. The number 50 is a vibration of lasting success, happiness. 3 is social, so this is someone who have a lot of people around him, a lot of friends, and he's in an entrepreneur space. I don't know if he's had a business all along, but where he is now, opportunities are there for him to begin and start his own business. Also, there's an artist, I see, and opportunities for him to express himself artistically and creatively are also present during this phase. 50s are very creative, very imaginative. They instinctively understand what others want and what they need. So he may be sought out as a counselor. People may be coming to him for advice, asking him, what now or what should we do? the number 50 loves family and friends, loves to stay active, travel, and he's in a phase where if he hasn't been yet, there's a chance for him to become recognized, to make some type of achievement based on his intellectual research.
Well, what does the day hold for him? I just was told today he took ill, and I think he went in the hospital. So what is there anything interesting about today? Or?
Well, let's find out what the day is by first determining what year he's in. We do that by adding his month and day, which is 30, 9 and 21, to 17, which is a universal year. So he's under the number 47 year. 47 can bring a lot of anxiety and stress. It can put the spotlight on you. This month, when we add 10 to 47, in the case, he's in a number 57 month, and the 57 often can bring, I call it the woe is me vibration. The woe is me. People tend, under this energy, there's more of a tendency to, instead of focusing on the positive, to that little negative things come in. So that's the month he's in. Today is the 8th. So 8 and 57 is 65, which is the number 11, which is, as I mentioned about his year, the 47 year, it's high energy, a lot of stress. So he may just need to rest, recharge his batteries. Under the number 5, it's not unusual for 5 to have these periods. You see, 5 doesn't know the word limitation. They don't monitor their energy very well. They go full blast. You know, like they say about athletes, they leave it all out there. So from time to time, because of this high output spiritually, because of their potential for high energy, they need to rest the body. So I don't see anything wrong except that he needs to pay a little more attention to his physical needs, maybe exercise more, and put in little rest periods, allow rest periods during the day or during the week, and he won't have to go through these shutdowns. I knew someone who was a number 5. They would go, 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 and then just like maybe once a quarter, they'd be down for 3 days. Can't move, can't do a thing. Then they pop right back up and do the same thing. So it's just a matter of temperance. Easy does it.
Well, we certainly appreciate what you have brought and are bringing and continue to bring to the listeners, to the community at large. Dr. Wright, so do appreciate it. And the insight that you provided us for the month of the month of October. Again, I truly do appreciate that. And I look forward to having you. I look forward to having you join us again.
I look forward to that as well. I'll be glad to give everybody a heads up. We have some turmoil coming in for the new year, and I'm going to forecast right now, whoever gets in the White House is going to be a one-term president.
Okay. No predictions as to who it looks like it's going to be. Maybe we can talk about that on the next time you're out.
Will do.
Sounds good. Well, in the meantime, folks, in the meantime, tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Tell someone that's close to you that you care about that you love them. You don't know when you're going to get that opportunity again. Stay positive. If you get an opportunity, wherever you are in this country, to go to that march, go there, because it is about unity. And if you can't go there, ask yourself the question, what am I doing? Am I standing in unity with someone around me? So make every moment count is what it comes down to. And with that said, I bid you peace. I bid you well. I'm so happy for my friend, colleague. I like to call him even a mentor, Dr. Wright, and his new journey with his new bride. And I just ask that all of us keep our head to the sky. Stay positive. There's an energy there with. Until next time, be blessed. Ah!